My friends, in Christ, grace and mercy and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, as we now consider the ministry of His angels to us. And we read again from Revelation chapter 12, our New Testament reading today, beginning at the 7th verse. Now war arose in heaven, Michael and his angels fighting against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought back. But he was defeated, and there was no longer any place for them in heaven. And the great dragon was thrown down, that ancient serpent who is called the devil and Satan, the deceiver of the world. He was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. This is the word of God. Please be seated. So I hear that in South Korea, they are soon going to be the home of the world's first invisible skyscraper. I don't know if you've heard about this yet. It's going to be called the Infinity Tower, and it's due to be completed next year. How do they make it invisible? Well, there are high-definition cameras all around the building. So when you're standing looking at the building, the cameras on the other side of the building are taking pictures of the sky and of the cityscape. And then those pictures are projected on the front side of the building on large LED panels. So the building disappears. Of course, the project has raised some interesting questions among some of the locals. Among those questions, is it really a good idea to have a skyscraper you can't see so close to a busy international airport? There's a question. Now, in the Nicene Creed, we confess these words of the first article. We say, why don't you say it with me? I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible. Visible and invisible. Now, we understand the visible part. That's easy. God has made everything that the eyes can see. Sometimes the eyes need a little bit of help with a microscope or a telescope, but it's all there for the eye to see in the visible realm. But what is this about the invisible? What's that? Well, what we are confessing in this creed is that there is an entire realm of God's creation that the eye cannot see. And this day of Saint Michael and all angels gives us an opportunity to explore that unseen world and to learn from God's word what the angels especially are doing in that unseen realm to minister to the redeemed of the Lord, to us. Now, that doesn't mean that angels are any less real because they are invisible. Ask 185,000 Assyrian soldiers who were done in by a single angel how real angels are. It's just that we can't pop into their realm like they can occasionally pop into our realm, so they seem somehow less real to us. But they are not any less real than you or I. Genesis chapter 1:31, God saw all that He had made. We can't see it necessarily, but He can see it, visible or invisible to us. He can see it, and it is real. Now I want to stretch your mind a little bit this morning, if it can be stretched this time of day. By the way, today is National Coffee Day, so maybe if you had your coffee this morning, now can you stretch your mind a little bit? Have your coffee? Okay. All right. So let's stretch our minds a little bit. Imagine with me that these two realms, the invisible and the visible, are not two separate worlds like you might think. These realms are not geographically separated from each other. One is down here and one is up there somewhere. But both of these realms are intermeshed with each other. And together they form one creation. There is an entire dimension of this creation that is going on all around us that we would be completely unaware of if God had not told us about it in His Word. And if somehow you could pop into that invisible realm, you would see amazing things. You would see the Sabaoth of God, the hosts, the armies of God, led by Michael, that great Prince of the Angels, fighting against demonic forces in our world, in our communities, in our homes, and even in our church. And it's all happening around us. While we are driving to work or doing our job or raising our children or eating breakfast or even while we are worshiping. But because this realm is invisible to us and mysterious, there is a lot of speculation about it, a lot of popular theology and sentimentality that is way, way off base and contrary to the Word of God. There's a lot of misinformation about this invisible realm and the angels that occupy it. One of the first misconceptions about angels is that we can invoke the angels. An author by the name of Doreen Virtue writes, "You don't need a formal prayer to call the angels to your side. Simply think, angels, please surround me," and there they are. But can we invoke the angels? Do they respond to our beck and call? Well, Psalm 103 says this, "Praise the Lord, you His angels, you mighty ones who do His bidding, who obey His word. Praise the Lord, all you heavenly hosts, you servants who do His will." The answer from the Scriptures is no, no. They don't respond to our beck and call, our invocation. Angels take their orders from the Lord God of Sabaoth. They take their orders from the Lord, and they do His bidding, not ours. Another misconception about angels is that we become angels. You've heard all the sentiment about how we earn our wings by loving in this world. You've seen the Christmas program, It's a Wonderful Life, and you've heard the songs about how a deceased person becomes an angel in heaven. But listen to this. For you to become an angel would be a demotion. Because Scripture teaches us that human beings are the only creatures that are created in the image of God, and that we are greater than the angels. Now, Hebrews says we are lower than the angels for a little while because of sin and what it's done to us, but that's going to be reversed again, and it will one day be back to the way it was. We are greater than the angels, and God has appointed them to serve us, not the other way around. We are created in God's image, not the angels. And so the Scriptures say this, Psalm 91, if I can get it up there, Psalm 91, "He will command His angels concerning you to guard you." And again, Paul writes in 1 Corinthians, "Do you not know that we will judge angels?" No, humans don't become angels. Angels were created angels forever, God's celestial servants on our behalf. People are created as people, spiritual and physical, whose bodies shall rise in glory and the image of God will be restored to us. Another misconception about angels is that they are feminine. Go to any gift store that sells angel figurines. Check out any angel Christmas tree topper. They're always feminine. Now, Scripture teaches us, of course, that as spiritual beings, angels are neither male nor female. But look once again at Psalm 103. "Praise the Lord, you His angels, you mighty ones." The Bible, without exception, refers to angels in masculine terms, with masculine pronouns, having masculine names like Michael and Gabriel. Not that there's anything wrong with femininity, not at all. But ask those Roman guards at Jesus' tomb whether angels are feminine. And by the way, a little trivia, the Islamic holy book, the Quran, specifically condemns anyone who regards angels as female. A little piece of trivia for you. Another misconception about angels, everyone has one. In our gospel, Jesus speaks about children and He says, "They're angels." Now that is a tremendously comforting thought to any Christian parent, to think that angels are appointed to guard our children. I know that as a child, when I was convinced that there were monsters under my bed and in my closet, that picture that hung on my bedroom wall of the angel guarding those two little children as they crossed that rickety old bridge brought me tremendous comfort. But does everyone have an angelic guard and protector? Well, Scripture promises only the angels will only serve the elect of God. Here's that passage from Hebrews. We read it a little earlier in the service. Angels are ministering spirits sent to serve those who will inherit salvation. No promise to those who will not inherit salvation that they have angel protection. And Psalm 34, verse 7 says, the angel of the Lord encamps around, what, around everyone? No. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear Him, and He delivers them. Unbelievers have no such promise of angelic protection. And if you think about it, doesn't that make sense? Angels are God's way of protecting His investment. You know, the state of New York has a government agency called the Investment Protection Bureau. And they are tasked with protecting the public from fraud or from anything else that might undermine their financial investments. Well, in the spiritual realm, that's the role of the angels. Because you think about what God has invested in us. First of all, you are His creation. And that alone makes you precious beyond any price. If you've ever fashioned something carefully with your own hands, and you are proud of your work, you know how precious that thing is to you. And you know how much it hurts if you lose it or you drop it and it breaks. Well, that's what happened to the Lord. He made this wonderful creation. He made you fearfully and wonderfully. And then He lost it to sin and to Satan. It fell apart. It's broken. But He's not giving up. St. Paul says, you were bought with a price. And you know what that price is? Listen to the song that is being sung in Revelation 5 to the Lamb of God at His throne. There they are singing, you are worthy because you were slain, and with your blood you purchased for God people of every tribe and language and nation. Do you see it? God has invested in you the life and the blood of His own Son. He has paid the ransom that releases you from your bondage to sin and Satan and from the hell that God has prepared for Satan and his angels. And even now, He is investing in you in a construction project unlike any other. A city with streets of gold, pearled gates, jeweled walls, and a room with your name on it. And that's the role of the angels, to protect God's investment in you. You could think of Michael and as the leader of a vast angelic investment protection bureau, a host, an army of mighty warriors engaged in a very real, if invisible to us, battle to guard and to protect God's investment against the attacks of Satan. How exactly that battle plays out? How does a spirit battle a spirit? And what effect does that have on us in the visible realm? There is much, of course, that we don't know. But in summary, this is what we do know. That sometime after the creation, the angel Lucifer decided he was not content to be an angel. He wanted to be like God. He led a rebellion, and a great number of the angels rebelled with him. Perhaps as many as one-third of the angels, according to Isaiah. Now, that led to the battle that is described for us in Revelation 12. Now war arose in heaven. Michael and his angels fighting against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fighting back. But then he was defeated, And there was no longer a place for the dragon and for his minions in heaven. And he was thrown down, that ancient serpent who is called the devil and Satan, the deceiver of the world. He was thrown down to the earth and his angels were thrown down with him. And now that he has been cast down to the earth and he is destined for hell, this dragon and his demons have set out to use the little time that they have to destroy as much as they can of what God has created and what God loves. They are furious. And they most especially want to destroy the one creature that is made in the image of God, the one creature that matters most to God, and that's us. And so he tempted our first parents. And they plunged the human race into sin. And then just to emphasize how much greater we are than the angels, consider this. When the angels rebelled and when they fell into sin, God did not determine to redeem them. He just cut his losses and he cast them down. But when mankind sinned and we were cast out of the Garden of Eden, God did not leave well enough alone. He did not cut his losses. He sent his only begotten Son to do something for us that he would never do for the angels. To give his life on the cross for our redemption. And now Satan and hell have been defeated. Their time is very short and their fate is sealed. And in a last flash of fury, they are lashing out to destroy as many of us as they possibly can and to drag us down with them into the abyss that was prepared for Satan and his angels. But God has given his angels charge over us to keep us safely in all our ways. And although it is true that even the elect of God are not immune from the effects of sin in this world, we will experience pain, we do have accidents, yet Michael and his angels fight for us to protect us from every terror of the night, every arrow that flies by day, every pestilence that stalks in the night, every plague that destroys at noonday. And yeah, we will feel pain in this world and loss, but no evil shall befall us. That is to say, nothing can happen to us that will ultimately harm us in our relationship to the Father. We are the Lord's. We have been bought with the price of His blood. Angels serve us, protecting God's investment. Until that day when Jesus comes and the angels gather the elect from the four corners of the earth into the new Jerusalem, where the visible and the invisible realms merge, and we will stand side by side with the angels forever, basking in the light of the Lamb of God. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. May the peace of God that is beyond all understanding guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ unto life everlasting. Amen.